I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together, we're Rome and Oz. Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM.
All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, firstly, I'm at Deepwater.
Right, and where is Deepwater?
Deepwater is about 40 kilometres north of Glen Innes on the Northern Tablelands.
Nice.
Only a
nice
very
spot.
Tiny little town, beautiful place. And I chat with Kathy there from the Longhorn Hotel.
Oh, okay, very good. And then next up, you're going to be talking to Jim Byrne, and now he's a volunteer at the Tenterfield Saddlery.
Absolutely brilliant guy. Opened the saddlery especially for us, which was great.
Yes.
Private tour.
Yes, so much to see in there.
Absolutely, and a wealth of information now, Jim.
And then next up,
I'll be chatting with a lady that has been nicknamed Mrs. Tourism.
Oh, okay.
In Port Macquarie.
So she knows everything that's going on.
Everything and anything about Port Macquarie. Jeanette Hyde is the lass, okay. Now, she's been living in Port Macquarie for a long time, and she will tell you in this little chat that we do. Lots of things to see and do in Port Macquarie.
Great.
Now, apart from all these fantastic interviews with these incredibly interesting, lovely people, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, what do you reckon, Lynn?
On with the show.
Hello, listeners. Phil C here, and we're at Deepwater, which is about halfway between Glen Innes and Tenterfield, at the Longhorn Hotel, and we are chatting today with Angela. How are you today, my dear?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic. Now, tell us all about this great iconic hotel, Angela.
Well, it has a lot of history. It's about over 150 years old.
Right.
It's got the old lock-up cells back in Common Cay Day.
Right.
And it's got about 11 rooms for accommodation.
Fantastic.
Free camping, except for the powered sites, about $15 a night.
Okay, so how many powered sites do you have for caravanners?
I think there's about five up there, maybe more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got about five powered sites approximately. It's a very large area. If you didn't need power and you had a caravan or a camper trailer, you can still stay for free as long as you don't use power.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic. Yep. And it's such a big area, so if you've only got six powered sites, you'd have four or five times that for camping sites.
That's right, yep.
Easily.
Yep.
So that's great. Now, if they want to stay for free, are they only allowed to stay a day? Can they stay a couple of days? How's it work?
Yeah, they can stay a couple of days.
Okay.
They want to, yeah.
Okay. Because it's a good location. It's right in the middle of Tenterfield and Glen Innes.
Yep.
So it's a great place to come and visit, listeners. Now, I understand you're really, really famous for some of the cooking that you do, because you're in charge of the kitchen, aren't you?
Yep.
Okay, so tell us about some of the great food you serve here.
The pizzas are the winners.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone seems to like them a lot.
Okay.
And the Boomer Burger.
A Boomer Burger.
Try it if you dare.
Okay, so try it if you dare. That's a bit of a challenge, I've got to tell you. There's a lot of listeners that like challenges. What is a Boomer Burger?
Well, it's doubled up on everything. So you've got your lettuce, tomato, cheese, beetroot. Then you've got meat patty, cheese again, bacon, meat patty, cheese and bacon, steak, mushroom, onion jam, and a special sauce goes on the top.
Okay, so look, I've got to tell you, I'm trying to picture this in my mind. This burger would stand about, what, 6-8 inches from the plate to the top,
do you
think?
It's pretty tall.
It's a pretty tall sort
people,
of burger.
Yeah, two people could eat it.
It's a real two people thing, isn't it? Do you ever get cowboys coming here? Because I know you got a cowboy burger and you got the dude burger. So do you ever get any locals coming here and go, oh, I'll take on that challenge?
Yes, we do, and they don't seem to follow through.
So they don't manage to get through it. It's definitely a two-person burger.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic. Now, what about these pizzas? Because I understand they're award-winning.
Yes. So they say, yes.
She doesn't. Listeners, she's a little
bit
modest.
They want me recipes?
Well, you can tell us what's on a few of them if you like. What are the most popular ones?
There's the Mexican one.
Okay.
Which is like a meat lover mix that I make up myself. And it's got special Mexican herbs on it.
Uh-huh.
And then I top it with the cheese, and then I put the sour cream, salsa, and jalapenos around it.
Okay.
And corn chips.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's popular.
Oh, my goodness. We had pizza yesterday and it was delicious. That was at another place. Yep. I think we might try a pizza here for lunch. What do you think, Lynn? Yeah. Okay. So, how long have you been here? Like, this you're the new licensees, I understand. Yeah. So, how long have you been here so far?
About 8 months. This month we've been here.
Okay. And so, where did you come from?
South Coast.
South Coast. Yes. So why from the South Coast? Because this is almost like being out in the bush, really, isn't it? Even though you're so close to Glen Innes and Tenterfields, nothing like the coast.
Yeah.
What made you want to change?
Well, we just thought we'd try something different.
Okay.
Yeah. And take the risk and...
Yeah. I mean, you've took on a big lease, so you're going to be here for quite a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what else goes on? Because we had a look in the hotel. We noticed you've got a stage area there, so you have entertainment for the guests as well?
Yeah, we do bands. We're going to look at having them every Saturday night.
Okay.
So we're looking into doing that soon.
Right.
And today we've got the Yubbie races.
That's right. You got Big Bill. Now, apparently Big Bill's a bit of a Rodney Roode type or a Kevin Bloody Wilson entertainer, isn't he? Yeah. Is he a local character here, Big Bill?
Emmerville is from,
Emmerville, okay, so that's not far from here either.
Yeah.
And he's a regular here. He's a regular entertainer.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic stuff. look, I think it's. I think you've got a wonderful amount of potential here with this great hotel. You're also pet-friendly.
Yes.
Which is a big plus because a lot of travellers like to bring their pets. Are there any rules with the pets? Or they just have to be on a lead?
Yeah. When they're around, them, like in, they do come into the bar and things.
They can come into the bar?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Great. Yeah. See, that's a first, because normally the pets, the pet-friendly places, they have to be on a lead, they have to be outside.
Yeah, for medical, like people have them for medical reasons, they need their pet.
Yep.
Something on them lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
they're,
even
they're
if
allowed to come in. So,
okay. Yeah. So even if you just love your little fur baby and you don't want to leave them outside, fantastic.
Yeah, we allow that.
Can you imagine, listeners, being able to bring your fur baby right into the pub? Now you've got a couple of fires in here too for the colder weather?
Yes, we've got the fireplace there in the bar and we've also got the fire pit out the back.
The back,
which is always on every night in the winter.
And there's a bar out the back too, is that
right? Yeah, an outdoor bar, yes.
Fantastic. Yep. I mean, I can't imagine what more you'd need, folks. Like, you've got great cooking, you've got entertainment, you've got free camping for a couple of nights if you're not using power, and if you want to actually just pass through with the car, you've got some rooms as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Two of the rooms are actually en-suited.
En-suited,
The rest are just the rooms, but you've got the toilets on the block here at the back.
Okay.
And showers and a washing machine and all that sort of stuff.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
And your pound sites are only $15 a night, which is, I think, very cheap.
Yeah.
And you haven't got to go anywhere. Once you're here, you're set up, you've got your power, you've got your shower, you've got your toilet, wander in, have a cold beer, and on a Saturday night be entertained.
Yeah, that's right.
So what more could a traveller hope for? And in such an iconic building. It's been here for about 150 years. Listen, I'm going to have to wind this up now. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, Angela. It's been a pleasure for us. And we're going to try one of your award-winning pizzas very shortly.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. Well, there you go, listeners. Now, you stick around for
Slim Dusty's classic, The Man from Snowy River.
There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away and had joined the Wild Bush Horses. He was worth £1,000, so all the cracks had gathered to the fray. All the tried and noted riders from the stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight. For the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horse snuffs the battle with delight. There was Harrison, who made his pile when Pardon won the cup, and the old man with his hair as white as snow. But few could ride beside him when his blood was fairly up. He would go wherever horse or man could go. And Clancy of the Overflow came down to lend a hand. No better horseman ever held the reins, for never horse could throw him while the saddle girths would stand. And he learned to ride while droving on the plains. And one was there, a stripling, on a small and weedy beast. He was something like a racehorse undersized, With a touch of thyme or pony, three parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread, and he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eye, and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. But still so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay, and the old man said, "That horse will never do. For a long and tiring gallop, lad, you'd better stop away. Those hills are far too rough for such as you." So he waited sad and wistful. Lonely Clancy stood his friend. "Oh, I think we ought to let him come," he said, "and I warrant he'll be with us when he's wanted at the end. For both his horse and he are mountain bred. Oh, he hails from Snowy River, up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a horse's hooves strike firelight from the flintstones every stride, and the man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountains make their home, where the river runs those giant hills between. I have seen full many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but no way yet such horsemen have I seen." So he went, they found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away towards the mountain's brow, and the old man gave his orders, "Boys, go at 'em from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel them, try and wheel them to the right, and ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills. For never yet was rider that could keep that mob in sight, if once they gained the shelter of those hills." So Clancy rode to wheel them, he was racing on the wing, where the best and boldest riders take their place. And he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the rangers ring with his stock whip as he met them face to face. Then they halted for a moment while he swung the dreaded lash, but they saw their well-beloved mountain full in view, and they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew. Then fast the horsemen followed, where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of their tread. And the stock whips woke the echoes, and they fiercely answered back from cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. And upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way, where Currajong and Mountain Ash grew wide. And the old man muttered fiercely, "We may bid the mob good day. No man could hold them down the other side." When they reached the mountain summit, even Clancy took a pull. It well might make the boldest hold their breath. The wild hop scrub grew thickly, and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes, and any slip was death. But the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head, and he swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer. And he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed, while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet. Oh, he cleared the fallen timber in his stride. And the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride through the stringy box and saplings on the rough and broken ground. Down the hillside at a racing pace he went, and he never drew the bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of the terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the farther hill, and the watchers on the mountain standing mute saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right among them still as he raced across the clearing in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment where two mountain gullies met in the ranges. Oh, but a final glimpse reveals on a dim and distant hillside the wild horses racing yet with the man from Snowy River at their heels.
and he ran them single-handed till their sides were white with foam. He followed like a bloodhound on their track till they halted, cowed and beaten. Then he turned their heads for home, and alone and unassisted brought them back. But his hardy mountain pony, he could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur. But his pluck was still undaunted and his courage fiery hot, for never yet was mountain horse a cur. And down by Kosciuszko, where the pine-clad ridges raise their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky, and where around the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway to the breezes and the rolling plains are wide. Oh, the man from Snowy River is a household word today, and stockmen tell the story of his ride. And stockmen tell the story of his ride. And stockmen tell the story of his ride. And stockmen tell the story of his ride.
Well, hello, listeners. This is Phil C, and the program you've tuned into is called Roaming Oz, where we take you on location to the various different places we've travelled to. Now, we're currently in Tenterfield, and we are at the Tenterfield Saddler with Mr. Jim Byrne. How are you today, Jim?
I'm good today, Phil. How are you?
Mate, I'm having an absolute ball, and it is such a pleasure for me to be back in Tenterfield. I love the Tenterfield Saddler. Now, for
it's
the benefit...
It's a great place to have a ball.
Yeah, it's a fantastic little building you've got there with so much memorabilia and stuff. For the benefit of our listeners, tell us a little bit about the Saddler. How long has it been there?
Okay, well, now, the Saddler building was first... opened, I suppose, in 1870.
Okay.
So that makes it just over 150 years old.
Okay.
It was originally built to be a saddler.
Mm-hmm.
The big thick stone walls, all the rocks were quarried from areas around the Tenterfield district,
mm-hmm.
and carried into town on a horse and dray and erected that way.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much as you see the Tenterfield Saddler today is what it looked like when it was first opened in 1870.
Wow. Okay.
But, you know, we've added electricity, of course, to keep up with the times, but the main part of the building is as it was when it was first built.
Wow. And it's totally run by volunteers, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. The last working saddler was there in up until about 1980 or the early 1980s anyhow.
Okay.
And then it sat idle for some time until the family that owns it now decided that they'd wanted to branch into something different. So
okay.
It was then sort of opened, and the new owner, he basically used it to he had other businesses, of course, but it was a good brand name for him to operate from.
Okay.
And he fell in love with the place, and it stayed the way it was. He never changed anything about the saddler itself, except we could sell a few more things that were, you know, basically all Australian-made leather goods.
Fair enough. So the person who bought it, he's not actually related in any way to George Warner. It's
not a family member, it's just
somebody who wanted to buy the saddler.
Yeah, he saw it as a business opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and like I've spoken to him quite a number of times, and he said that he had plans for it, but when he saw how unique it was, he thought, I'm not going to change this place at all.
No, and it is.
Yeah.
I love the word you use there, Jim. It is actually, like, to say unique, it is unique within itself, isn't it, really?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So,
and we're very fortunate here in Tenterfield to have something that the world knows about,
mm-hmm.
especially through the song from Peter Allen.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we'll get on to that in a moment, because there's two rooms to the building, correct? Like, you walk in the front door and you're sort of in the foyer, which is room number one,
yeah.
where you do your donation and so on and so forth. So for our listeners, what have you got in that first room?
Okay, well, as you walk into the door, you'll see the service counter where the volunteers sit, and a lot of the time I sit there and just tell stories, whatever people ask a question about.
Okay,
I'll tell stories. But within the room, we have historic photos. There's a lot of memorabilia from the Jennerfield area.
Yes,
there's different things from, you know, bygone days. The number of telephones there that were used through the early 1900s and right through until, you know, we come up with our new smartphones. And of course, there's a lot of stuff on display. Like we sell belts and and whips and other sort of, what would I say, country style gear.
Yes.
That's very unique. It's all branded with the Tenterfield Saddler, so it really is a very good thing to, and good quality stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah. So you can buy yourself.
And then you move on.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you can move on from the front room into the back room.
Okay.
And in the back room, we have, again, there's more paperwork on the walls that tell stories of the saddler himself, a lot of photos of the saddler and Peter Allen, who basically put the place on the map again.
Absolutely.
There's some music on the walls that that were the original score that Peter Allen wrote himself.
Okay. And that's what I still call Australia Home, I believe. Is that correct?
That's the one, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That's there. We have the workbenches that George Woolnough, who was the Tenterfield Saddler, the benches that he actually did his work on, and a couple of sewing machines.
Yes.
So, like I say, it's pretty much in period, and a lot of people just stand there and soak up the atmosphere and smell the leather.
And not only smell the leather, but you can sort of see it up close and personal, can't you? Because he's got a couple of saddles there as well, doesn't he?
There are a few saddles, yeah. There's a couple that, there were two saddlers in Tenterfield, and they both worked in tandem.
Okay.
So the saddles that are there were actually made in Tenterfield, and George Woolnough put his personal stamp on them, and there's one of them there for everybody to see. There's also a light horse saddle there that was made for the light horse way back in the early 1900s as well.
Okay, fantastic stuff. So apart from all of this this leather stuff, and you've also got the original score to I Still Call Australia Home, I guess the most recognised thing, like you said, that put Peter Allen put the saddler on the map is that other fantastic song he wrote, which of course is called Tenterfield Saddler, isn't it? Which is all about his uncle. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, it was about his grandfather, actually.
Oh, his George grandfather, was, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, George Woolnough was Peter's grandfather. Peter was born in Tenterfield, but only for a few months he lived there, and then the family relocated to Armidale.
Right.
And then there was, you know, sort of Peter regularly came up to visit his grandfather, and he developed a strong relationship with his grandfather, George, so much so that you know, he decided to put pen to paper, and we come up with this beautiful ballad about Peter himself, his father, and his grandfather.
Okay.
There's a verse that's dedicated to each one. And, of course, we benefit in Tenterfield because of it.
Yes, absolutely. It's a brilliant song. It's absolutely – I love Peter's music, I must confess, but there's something about that Tenterfield Saddler, and I'm not just saying it because we're talking about the Tenterfield Saddler, but that actual song is definitely my most favourite of Peter Allen's songs.
Most people would say
I Still Call Australia Home. I mean, it's a great song, but there's just something about Tenterfield Saddler. Every time I hear it, it just gets a lump in my throat.
You do have to stop and listen to it.
Yes,
and,
you do.
And then you sort of soak in the atmosphere of actually being there.
Yes, you can. I mean, I know the words. Like late George Warno lived on High Street and lived on Manners, so he was a very proud and tell us a little bit about George. What you know of George?
Yeah, well, George he was a saddler first and foremost, but he was quite an important man around the town, in that he wanted to include the youngsters of the town in most of what happened.
Okay.
So George, he looked after the local scout movement.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a gymnasium.
Yes.
That was situated in one of the buildings in town. So all that the young kids from town, they learned how to box, they learned how to swim, they learned how to keep themselves fit and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a real connection to the town, and it was just something that people that live here now, there's still a couple of people in town who remembered George, and they remembered being part of his squad, basically.
Okay.
But he had everything. He had everything that you would expect from a good, clean living local identity.
Correct. That's the thing. I mean, he was clean living. He wasn't. He wasn't. And he lived on manor. So he was, I guess, the gentleman of the town, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's a lot of like the manors is actually it. It refers to the street that he lived on.
Ah, okay.
Because the Tenterfield Saddler building is in High Street, so he worked on High, and George's home is in the next street along, which is called Manor Street.
Ah.
So he lived on Manor.
He lived on Manor. So there you go, listeners. Yes. We're learning a little bit more in depth about the song. You know more about the song than I do. But the true. Other thing is, too, that like there's another verse in there that speaks about the son. His son of George that went off and got married, and he had a war baby, and something went wrong, you know.
Yeah.
So, do you know much about that part of it?
Yes, well, his son Richard was Peter's father.
Yes,
he came back from the war, and he as a returned soldier, you know, he still suffered from a lot of the atrocities.
Yes.
Of war.
Yes.
Today we call it post-traumatic stress.
Yes.
In those days it was called shell shock or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time the advice that most people got was to just go and have a couple of scotches or a drink or whatever and have a good lie down.
Yes.
And everything will work out okay. Well, it didn't happen like that for Richard.
No.
And he was a very troubled man, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, he eventually committed suicide when Peter was 13 years of age.
Yeah.
And in the song, it talks about George. He wondered why his son had need of a gun.
Correct, well, yeah.
He used that gun to take his own life.
To take his own life,
Because
it also said there that, if memory serves me, it's easier to drink than go crazy. So I guess coming back from the war and trying to deal with all these things that happened to him, that's the reason why he started to drink and eventually ended up taking his own life. That's the reason
Basically, the medical advice of that period was, have a couple of drinks and calm down.
Calm yourself down.
As you know, some people, they don't calm down.
No. Very, very sad. And a brilliant song. And that's why whenever I hear it, it always does. It always brings a bit of a lump to my throat. Peter Allen, such a great lyricist. And a great entertainer. Now, tell us all about there's this incredible pair of red shoes, and they don't belong to Dorothy, and it's got nothing to do with going back home. There's these incredible red shoes that sits in the window. Tell us a bit about these shoes.
Well, now, Peter often performed in Australia, and at one stage back in the late 80s, about 89 or 1990,
right,
he performed at the Twin Town Services Club at the Gold Coast.
Okay. Yes.
And as is the habit of performers who perform there, they normally leave something behind that is used later on for a celebrity auction,
right,
to raise money for charity and whatever.
Okay.
Somebody, and we don't know who it was, somebody bought those shoes at the celebrity auction.
Yes.
And donated them brought them back up to Tenterfield and handed them in and donated them. Anonymously.
Wow.
to the Saddler. Yes. And they've got pride of place there on the front of the window.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people who will come along, like Peter had big feet. He had size 13.
Did. I couldn't believe it when I saw those shoes. I thought, who do these things belong? Big feet.
Yeah, so we've had a number of people have come and they've sat out on the veranda and put the shoes on, taken photos with it. With the maracas and whatever.
And that's it. And you don't know who donated those shoes.
No, we don't. No, wow. That's happened quite a few times at the Tenterfield Saddler. There's been things have been just brought in and plonked on the counter, and they say this is a donation and put that on display, please.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll walk out the door and you don't know anything about who they are.
Yes,
but they're happy to do it. Yep. And we're happy to show it.
Fantastic. Now, apart from these two main rooms and these fantastic size 13 red shoes at the front window, you've also got a little bit of a side room where you've got some local sort of craft and stuff like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's some of the local quilting people have done a bit of work that we hang up on the wall on display.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very intricate, needlework and whatever. It really does look lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that come to visit that like to take photos of that and take that away as a memory as well.
Yeah. Well, Jim, it is the most wonderful place in Tenterfield, and it always draws me back. Whenever I'm in the area, I always have to call through Tenterfield and have a look at the Saddler. And it brings back so many great memories for me. So for the benefit of my listeners who have never been to Tenterfield or never seen the Saddler, I really stress that they're missing out on something absolutely fantastic, fabulous. There's history there, not only of the Saddler, but the history of Peter Allen's life and career, and people like yourself that volunteer there with such a wealth of knowledge. I mean, you've taught me about the song that I wasn't aware that Manners was where he lived. I thought that was because he was just that sort of a fella, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that a lot of people thought that way until they realised that there is a Manor Street there.
Yes,
but Tenterfield itself, it's got so much history.
Absolutely.
That goes right back to the days of Sir Henry Parkes and the Australian Federation and whatever. So, and whoever comes to visit us at the Saddler, we'll always give them the full story of the celebrities of our town or the people who made our town as famous as what it is.
Brilliant.
And we'll point you in the right direction of interesting places to see when they're here as well.
Okay. Now, you're not open every day though, are you, Jim? The Saddler's not open every day?
We're open every day of the week except Monday.
Okay. Yeah. So every day, Tuesday to Friday, you're not open on the weekends either? I'm just for the listeners.
On the weekends, the weekends are our most important time, Saturdays and Sundays. Because weekend travellers, that's when they get the chance to see it a lot more.
Okay.
So we're normally open from 9 until about 1 or 2.
Okay.
On 6 days a week.
Yes.
And there's no cost to enter the building. It's like a donation for the upkeep.
Yes.
So there's no entry fee. And you'll always meet a smiling face and a good storyteller if you come in.
Absolutely. Especially if they happen to be lucky and see you on there, Jim, because
I'm just one. There's 7 of us, and I think we're all unique in different ways.
Okay. Fabulous. Jim, I'm going to have to wind this up now, my friend. Can I play you an Aussie song to wind this segment up? Got something favourite?
There is one of my, like Peter Allen wrote and performed quite a number of songs, but there is one in particular that I always like that always takes my ear when I hear it.
Okay.
And it's called Don't Cry Out Loud.
Yes.
A very, very good ballad, a very, very good story.
Have you got a little bit of a story to tell us about that? What's that song all about?
My understanding is that Peter's mother was she really enjoyed the circus.
Yes.
And of course, after his father had passed away, she missed a lot of the companionship and whatever. And when the circus came to town, it seemed to give her a new lease of life. And,
yes.
And Peter, I suppose, noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
And he put it in that little memory bank because he was only a young child at the time.
Uh-huh.
But when the opportunity came along, he put those thoughts into a song, and Don't Cry Out Loud is just a beautiful little ballad that is like a tribute to his mum.
Absolutely fabulous. All right, Jim. Well, I'm going to throw that on right now for our listeners. Don't Cry Out Loud by Peter Allen. Thank you so much for your time, Jim. You're an absolute wealth of information, a perfect gentleman. You live on manners. No, you don't, but you're a great bloke. And for any of our listeners, I hope they catch you yourself, because you are a great bloke. And the other ones, they're just as knowledgeable as well. So
They're all wonderful people. You're welcome anytime you like. As fantastic. I said, you'll always have a smiling face and a good story.
Fantastic. All right, listeners, we'll stick around for Jim's request, Don't Cry Out Loud by Peter Allen. We're going to put that on right now, and we'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after that.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Baby cried the day the circus came to town, 'cause she didn't want parades just passing by her. So she painted on a smile and took up with some clown, and she danced without a net up on the wire. I know a lot about her, 'cause you see, baby is an awful lot like me. We don't cry out loud, we keep it inside. We've learned how to hide our feelings. If you should fall, remember you almost had it all. Baby saw that when they pulled the big top down, they left behind her dreams among the litter. And the different kind of love she thought it found, it was nothing more than sawdust and some glitter. But baby can't be broken, 'cause you see, she's had the finest teacher we not taught her. Should fall, remember you almost had it. Don't cry out loud, we gotta keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings. Fly high and proud, and if you should fall, should fall. Well, baby, you almost had it all.
How are you today, Jeanette?
Well, I'm wonderful, Phil, and I'm certainly hoping that most of our businesses are feeling exactly that.
You, there's over 240 related businesses that the Tourism Association sort of represents. Is that correct?
That's right, and we're an advocate for those businesses, whether it's advocating, you know, what information that they need,
yes,
particularly with these grants that were available,
mm-hmm,
helping them with things that they might like to manoeuvre with council for various things.
Yes.
The publicity, like we have network nights and we get together. It's trying to make us a strong industry, and we are.
Yes.
So it's really great to have that many members in our association.
Yeah. And I guess the thing is, it's so important that everybody, you know, rallies and stands together, because it's all about community, isn't it, really?
It sure is. And it's good you mentioned community, because mm-hmm, that's what we've been talking about recently.
Yes.
We have so many things that are on offer in our region.
Okay.
The diverse range of activity is amazing.
Right.
And we tend to not visit them, like we live here.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go to, you know, Billabong Zoo, because you can go down to Geelonga Park Zoo or
okay,
something like that.
Yep.
So we've been trying to encourage our locals to go to that restaurant that you don't normally go to the attraction.
Yes.
To hop on the boat on mm-hmm, the river. You know, because we don't do it. We
no,
actually go on holidays and go to everyone else's activity.
Yeah, that's a strange thing, isn't it? Because, like, Port Macquarie is such a beautiful place, and in tourist times, school holidays, yeah, Christmas time, you get, ordinarily, you would get flooded with tourists coming there. But the locals that are there, they don't really appreciate what they've got in their own backyard, because what you said, you've got the Billabong Zoo, yet people will travel to Sydney to go to the Taronga Zoo. And you've got this, you've got so many great water, like you've got cruise boats, whale watching, dolphin watching, and you get the tourists come through, which is great, and the locals, they support them, but not the way the tourist trade would support them and keep these guys afloat and making successful businesses.
And that's what we're trying to encourage, because
yeah,
we actually, when we've got visitors to Port Macquarie,
yes,
we take them on the whale-watching boat, or
mm-hmm,
we take them out to Miss Nellie's Cafe, all those things,
mm-hmm,
but we tend not to do it ourselves.
No.
We've been encouraging our locals to support our locals.
That is a fantastic thing. So if people were to come, what are the sorts of places and things to see, must see and do things in Port Macquarie for the listeners?
Okay, so we've got some novel things,
mm-hmm,
that, particularly when we're talking about producers and providers, and we're talking about the strawberry farm, and where you can go out and cook, pick your own strawberries, and they grow beautiful tomatoes,
okay,
and they make tomato relish and this sort of thing. So you've got that. You've got a place in town called The Other Chef.
Yes.
And that's all they sell is local produce.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some great coffee makers in our region. We have lots of markets selling fresh food. We
mm-hmm,
have a chocolate place out at Bago Winery, Squeaky Gate Farm Shop. There's just so many things,
yes,
to do as far as produce.
Yes.
But go back to your wineries,
mm-hmm,
and we've got five beautiful wineries in very short distance of Port Macquarie. Famous Casa Greens, we've got Bago Winery, we've got Long Point, we've got Douglas Vale. So you've got these wineries that produce their own wine, and you
right,
go and have a wine tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, they've all got their own add-ons, which Long Point often does entertainment.
Right.
Bago Maze has a Bago Winery has a maze.
Mm-hmm.
And Casa Greens has a beautiful restaurant. So, you know, you've got added extras when you do that food and wine culture that we've got going.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were talking about the strawberries and tomatoes, that's Ricardo's, isn't it?
It is Ricardo's.
Yes, okay, because I have spoken with Tony, I think his name is.
Yes, it is Anthony, yes.
Yeah, yes, well, so I've had a bit of a chat with Anthony, and what an amazing place that is. And I said to him, "What, you know, who gets the most fun, the kids, picking the strawberries, or the grandparents or the parents seeing how much fun the kids are having picking the strawberries. And he said, you know what, everybody that comes here has fun, because the grandparents are just in awe of seeing their little kiddies picking up those beautiful strawberries that he's got out there. That's an amazing setup. And
it is, and it's so easy to do. It's all hydroponics, so you're not having to bend down and pick them up. You're picking them off the vines.
That's right.
They're just beautiful.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, it's all undercover. So even if it's a bad weather day, this is for the benefit of the listeners, if it's a bad weather day, it doesn't mean you can't go there, because it's all undercover. You can go there and you can pick your strawberries. And they do have a beautiful restaurant there where, they, as you said, they sell their jams and their relishes and so on and so forth. So Ricardo's is definitely a place to visit if you're in this area. And
it's always on my itinerary.
Oh, look, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I've never been to Billabong Zoo, so have you been there yourself, Janet?
Many times, and Mark is a fantastic operator. He's very much into preserving wildlife.
Yes.
But the wonderful thing about the experience at the zoo is you're up close and personal with the animals.
Okay.
Sometimes you go to a zoo and you're not close to them.
Yes.
But you can actually be really close to the lions and the leopards and all that sort of thing. You can actually feed them.
Wow.
You walk through the kangaroo enclosure.
Yes.
But it's just lovely. And they've got some unusual animals there. And it's just a day that the kids can enjoy, but adults can enjoy it as well.
Of course, of course. And another really beautiful place that holds a big place in my heart is the Koala Hospital.
Yeah, the Koala Hospital is very special. Oh, it's just fantastic what the volunteers do up there.
Well, I was going to say that, because that place is primarily all run by volunteers, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Now, you yourself, you're a volunteer, aren't you?
I am a volunteer. That's how I'm with tourism. But I volunteer for lots of other things as well. But obviously, tourism is my passion.
That's your passion. And obviously, Port Macquarie is your passion. Well, listeners, we're just going to take a short break from Jeanette Hyde. And I'm going to play you a song by Russell Morris. Yeah, the song I've selected is a number called Wings of an Eagle. And you never know, listeners, you might be lucky to see a beautiful eagle soaring across the magnificent Hastings River there in Port Macquarie. So I'm going to play this track for you right now, and we'll be back with more of Jeanette Hyde straight after this.
Well, I'm looking out on an overcast sky in the morning. I can hear the warning as it calls to you. As the birds migrate and the wind is raised, I see the eagle soaring. Although I'm just a pawn in nature's game like you. We'll be right back.
How long have you been in Port Macquarie, Janet? Were you born there? Have you lived there all your life?
No, we've been in Port 45 years, and it's a place I never want to move from.
Okay.
It's just got so much on offer. I always think, because I came 45 years ago, it was like a quaint country town.
Yes.
And even though we've expanded, I still think we've got that same attitude. So locals are very friendly to our visitors, and it's just a nice place to walk along the breakwall.
It is.
To do the coastal walk. The coastal walk is nearly our number one attraction on TripAdvisor.
Wow. Yeah, look, Port Macquarie is a magnificent place, and various types of accommodation too in Port, isn't there, for the travellers? You've got a beautiful caravan park there that's situated right on the breakwall. And then
we have.
What other styles of accommodation have you got? You'd have some hotels in there. I think I know you've got one at Flynn's Beach as well as one in the middle of the city as well of Port Mac.
There's lots of apartments in Port Macquarie, which is great for the families. But we've got Ridges and we've got Sails and we've got the Observatory. But we've also got boutique accommodation like Telegraph Retreat at Tully Point, which is a little bed and breakfast. So we have a huge variety of accommodation that will suit anybody.
Okay. So everybody's taste and everybody's budget and everybody's needs.
Exactly.
Yep. And it's all happening in Port Macquarie.
And that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And Phil, with our region, we've got an aqua park that the kids can go to. We've got the helicopters. We've got horse riding on the beach.
Yes.
We've got surf schools.
Yes.
We've got putt-putt. We've just got so much more everybody to do.
Okay. And I guess the best thing to do, how do the listeners find out about all these things? For people that are coming to Port rather than once they arrive there so they can plan in advance, is there a website that the listeners could go straight to or something?
Yes, they can.
Yes.
If they go to www.portmacquarieinfo.com.au,
yes,
it actually has an accommodation element to it, an attractions element.
Right.
Letting you know what's coming up for the month, all of that sort of thing. So that's portmacquarieinfo.com.au.
Okay. That's the one. That's the one you have to do, listeners, if you're interested in going to Port and finding out in advance, because it does get very popular at Port Macquarie under normal circumstances, doesn't it?
It does, and it depends what's happening. We've got the wonderful Glasshouse, and they have fantastic shows.
That's brilliant.
And we've also got lots of heritage. So, you know, we've got something for everybody in our region.
I think it's amazing what you're doing, Janet. You're a volunteer. I'm not going to say how old you are because a man never divulges a lady's age, but I know you're retired. And I also know that you used to work at Port RSL.
Port Macquarie Panthers.
Yes, Port Macquarie Panthers. And you used to be in charge of entertainment there. So what was that like? Like to be in charge of entertainment and now you're really looking after the tourism side. You would have seen some great entertainers and stars come through when you're booking your entertainment.
I sure did. And really it goes across the whole gambit, whether it's Midnight Oil or 1927 or Gene Pitney or John Williamson.
Yep.
You go across it, and I booked that band into our club because we moved from in town and had a big auditorium, and we built another auditorium out at the new location so we could take 1,000 people. So it was the venue to go for a fantastic show. And I've been very fortunate to have met a lot of wonderful entertainers.
Fantastic. Well, you keep doing what you're doing, Janet, because what you're doing is magnificent. This is the opinion of the people that contacted me and said, you know, you have to talk to Janet. She's such a wealth of information, which you are. And your passion and love for Port Macquarie, you're going to be remembered for an awful long time when, you know, it finally comes for you to fly with the angels, my dear. So thank you so much for your time today and telling our listeners all about the wonderful things to see and do in and around Port Macquarie. It's been my absolute pleasure.
No, it's a pleasure, Phil. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much. Now, before I wind this little segment up, because I do know you do love your music, do you have a favourite Australian singer or band, maybe, that I could play a song for you?
Yes, I love the Australian singers, and I can't go past a song that Slim Dusty wrote, and it was called The Ballad of Port Macquarie.
Yes.
And it brings tears to my eyes when I listen to it, because it includes the church and all sorts of things, and it's just a really lovely song about our region.
Absolutely fantastic. All right, my dear. Well, I'm going to put that up for you straight away, okay? I'm just getting it ready now. The song, listeners, that Jeanette has selected is The Ballad of Port Macquarie by Slim Dusty. Janet Hyde, thank you so much for your time, my dear. And we'll
it's a pleasure, Bill, and good luck with what you do.
Thank you so much. Stick around, listeners, for that song by Slim Dusty, Ballad of Port Macquarie, and we'll be back with more of Roaming Oz straight after that.
From the beach with the sea billows rolling, there's a place in Australia to go, where the tall whispering pines bid you welcome, and the sunset is red with its glow. There's an old stone church on the hilltop, preserved now from past history. In this fair place they named Port Macquarie, where the Hastings flows into the sea. Oh yeah, that's right. The first settlers came here by sailboat, from old Sydney town came this way. Now the tourists, they come from all over, each year more are coming to stay. Where the sun shines so warm in the winter, and there's so many places to see. So just come and soak up the sunshine, where the Hastings flows into the sea. A few miles away to the westward is Warhope, that old timber town. And the giant sawmills keep on turning as the logs from the mountains come down. And down to the south is Lake Cattai, as lovely a scene you could see, where the Christmas bells bloom in the summer on the road that leads down to the sea. Oh yeah, that's right. From the beach with the sea billows rolling, there's a place in Australia to go, where the tall whispering pines bid you welcome, and the sunset is red with its glow. There's an old stone church on the hilltop, preserved now from past history. In this fair place they named Port Macquarie, where the Hastings flows into the sea. In this fair place they named Port Macquarie, where the Hastings flows into the sea.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roaming Oz.